Yeah, Nicki Minaj.
Super Bass is like one of my favorite songs.
Well, that's not my favorite. I like, actually, I like that one, Pills or Potions, whatever it's called. Mm-hmm. Her rap in that song is fucking sweet.
Have you ever seen the one where the video, it's like a 4-minute seizure, the video?
Yeah, it was fucking awesome.
It's like Bee's Nest or something?
Yeah, that one's fucking cool.
It's the weirdest video, but it's so cool. And her face keeps moving.
Yeah. I watched her videos for like an hour on YouTube last night, and they're fucking sweet.
She's awesome.
The only one I didn't like was one that had Chris Brown in it, but that might be partly I just can't like.
Yeah.
All I can do is like, that guy beat the shit out of a lady. Mm-hmm. A lady who's pretty cool.
That's how I feel about the Baltimore Ravens, because they're running back.
Beat the shit out of a lady.
Yeah, in an elevator, and then there was surveillance video of him dragging her unconscious body out of the thing. Guess how many games he got suspended for?
Four.
Two.
That's it?
First things first, he got charged but then acquitted because him and his fiance at the time, I think they're married now.
Decided not to press charges.
They had a press conference where she was like, everything's good. We're all fine here now. How are you? And then, then he didn't get, found guilty of anything, but then the NFL still suspended him for two games, which is garbage. And then there's a guy named Josh Gordon who got failed.
Sorry, for a second, for some reason when you said Baltimore Ravens, my mind went blank and I was thinking of the Baltimore Orioles. And I was like, two games in baseball is nothing. Two games in football, I guess, is more, but he should have been like,
it's an eighth of the season.
Forever.
Yeah. And then, mind you, the Baltimore Ravens also had Ray Lewis on their team, who's like a guy who he was found out guilty, but there was like reasonable evidence that he helped to conspire to kill somebody.
Jesus.
And he's like, he's viewed as like a legend and like a great guy and stuff. Football's stupid. But then a guy named Josh Gordon, who plays for the Cleveland Browns, he's a receiver. He's like 23 years old and he's failed a couple drug tests for marijuana and he got suspended for the full year. And now he's fighting it and they're like, well, he might get only half the year. And it's like, really? And then this guy can go beat his fiance unconscious in an elevator.
Like, hey, speaking of people. Horrible piece of shit, despicable human beings.
Are we on?
Oh, yeah, we're
cool. On.
Did you hear the most recent like insane rambling from crazy guy fighter whose name I can't remember?
War Machine?
War Machine? About how like the oppression of the white man is worse than the slaveries.
Really?
Did you hear about that?
No.
What's his name again?
War Machine?
What's his name?
I looked up War Machine. John.
Actually, you know what? I looked up War Machine. I was going to say, yeah, I found it.
Yeah. I know that he, like, after, you know, she posted the pictures of her face where she's unrecognizable, and then was like, yeah, so clearly he beat me up and, like, explained it in horrible detail. And then he was like, I just wanted to propose, and then I ended up fighting for my life. And it's like, you're an MMA fighter and you were fighting for your life against your girlfriend? I don't believe that.
Looks like such a fucking
He's a moron. Like I said, he's been charged before with, like, beating up women. He's just like, he's the one of the biggest pieces of trash in America.
He was arrested on Saturday in the brutal assault of his ex-girlfriend and reality TV star Corey Thomas, the cage fighter who claimed he attacked the pair in self-defense, which is pretty great.
Mm-hmm. Well, those reality TV stars are tough.
Yeah. I didn't find the actual quote, though.
See, the thing is, he's like, he's not a good fighter, so it's like, oh, well. But even not a good MMA fighter is still tougher than most people and can beat up most people.
This guy's insane. The oppression of men is worse than oppression of the Jews in Nazi Germany, worse than the slaveries of blacks in America. I'm not exaggerating either, he says.
Oh, my God.
At this point, one of two things is happening. He's just fucking nuts, which, yes. But not as a defense. But two, it's almost like he's saying even crazier shit now to establish some kind of, like,
brand
insanity.
Yeah.
It's not his fault. He's not a monster. It's just, like, he's roided out. It's all the headshots. He's the victim. Hmm. No. No, he's not the victim.
No.
He is the fucking ass.
He's the type of person that makes me reconsider my stance on the death penalty.
I mean, I don't. What does Hulk Hogan have to say?
I'm not going
to
reconsider it, but he makes me think about it.
What?
He's crazier than American cops.
Oh my God, what an idiot. Hulk Hogan was asked about his opinion on War Machine. Now, your opinion should always be that guy's a piece of shit.
Yes.
And then you should draw the line, but instead he says his opinion was he's lucky it wasn't Ronda Rousey. He would have been in trouble. your opinion should never be, well, it's a good thing he beat up the poor defenseless porn star and not the big scary other MMA fans. Like, you're a fucking idiot.
Yeah.
Hulk Hogan, shut up.
Now, in fairness, if it was Rousey, she would have ripped his arm off, which would have been great.
I mean, she went on to say, no, that's not a good situation at all. That's not cool, brother.
Well,
you're right.
I mean,
not cool.
In fairness, I was wondering if it was cool. Like, I knew it was horrible, but I was still thinking it might have been cool. But if Hulkster says it's not cool, I'm in agreement, brother.
Weirdly enough, it says the Rossi line wasn't particularly sensitive from Hogan. However, it was still better than what Sons of Anarchy star Chuck Zito
said.
Oh,
yeah.
That Mac deserved to be beaten if she was cheating on War Machine. Mm-hmm. He did later apologize, but still, what a fuckhead.
He's the guy that, like, he was an original member of the Hell's Angels.
Oh, he was a biker.
Or, I don't know if he's an original member, but he was a member of the Hell's Angels. He's the one that, like, sued Kurt Sutter, the guy who created Sons of Anarchy, because he said that Kurt Sutter basically stole his idea and sold it to FX, the same network that he was talking to, and then, like, 3 years later ended up coming onto the show, and he's a fucking horrible actor.
He doesn't look good.
I
don't watch that show because it doesn't strike me as something that I would like even a little bit, but
it's, if you like kind of,
I don't like stupid meathead dude bros. And even if they're not the protagonists, I just don't want to watch stupid meathead dude bros for any minute.
The only way I can think of to describe it is that, like, it's like, I like it, and it's,
but you're,
it's
a stupid meathead dude
bro. Oh, absolutely. But it's, it's basically like the Expendables, where it's like the plot is kind of shitty and loose, and there's like plot holes everywhere. And if you're watching it for great performances, you get that from Katie Sagal, and that's about it. And Ron Perlman was good, and that's about it. Everybody else,
is he gone now? Is he dead? Did he die?
Yeah.
Spoilers. Carefully,
don't
say that too loud.
In fairness, they, for like 3 seasons, they would keep building it up towards the end of the season that he was going to die, and then they'd like fucking trump card him out of it, and it was stupid. And then finally, they actually did kill him.
It just doesn't sound like a show that I would enjoy.
See, and then people are like, oh, Sons of Anarchy is awesome because they're not afraid to kill people. It's like, no. Breaking Bad wasn't afraid to kill off characters.
Yeah, no, don't spell
out of it. No, but there's like countless. The Wire is not afraid to kill off characters.
No, yeah, I mean, just because the character dies doesn't suddenly give the show gravitas or weight or something, but I don't have any interest, really.
Game of Thrones? Way too scared to kill off characters.
I know, he's so timid. Mm.
That George R. R. Martin, he gets so attached to his to
just
all of
like,
his characters.
Oh, I love these people, you don't want to hurt them. Fuck you.
Yeah.
Fuck you, Beardo.
Grumpy old.
Why don't you kill some people, Fark? Beardo?
Fark? I meant to say fuck and fart, and then I said fark. New word. Hi, I'm Webster. Welcome to my dictionary.
So when you said I'm Webster, I was thinking of like that little black kid from that sitcom back in the day, Webster. Remember Webster?
No, but I was thinking of that. Remember that bad band, Down with Webster?
No.
I saw them at the Stampede once, and it was not good.
This kid. Is that Emmanuel Lewis? No.
Yeah.
Oh, that's Webster.
That's Emmanuel Lewis.
Is that Emmanuel Lewis?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, okay, he was Webster then. Huh. Yeah, Emmanuel Lewis. He was Webster.
I mean, that was before my time because I wasn't born in 1964.
I don't remember what show that was, though. Oh, it was called Webster.
Webster.
I thought it was called Webster.
I like how there's, like, just... It's weird that you searched Webster, and then it's just, like, a lot of
a
pictures,
bunch
of
pictures of
Emmanuel
Lewis,
people.
And then other just, like, random black people. Although, okay... Ironically, there are a bunch of sports people whose names are probably Webster, and there's also like old timey portraits of like
that's Corey Webster from the New York
Giants, Civil War era guys who probably were also named Webster. So it's either like cool athletic black guys, TV's Webster, or these kind of dudes, Daniel Webster from the Conservapedia.
Conservapedia, bookmark that site. Sounds
also
like
a picture of Webster. This might be the dumbest intro we have ever done.
I
talking
know.
Talking about MMA criminals and Webster.
I mean, I don't know. I've had a rough week.
I guess we
because
should
this world is garbage. So
welcome to Welcome to the Geek Steppy Comics Roundup for the week of Wednesday, August the 20th, or something like that. I'm Joey G.
I'm Ryan.
And it's just the two of us, bro. The two of us.
We can
part it if we try.
Remember when Jaden Smith was in that song with Will Smith?
Yeah.
And he's like, da da. And now he's like,
yeah, it's just like tonight. We're
insane.
Like you and I, and you're just like, JoJo, you know?
JoJo, like that
JoJo.
Girl that used to sing?
No, like Casey and JoJo.
Oh.
Ooh, I don't know. What was that song? I just remember the intro.
Were you just vamping?
He had a song that was like... Yeah. He had one song that was popular.
And it was huge. I remember because like a friend of mine was like obsessed with that song.
Well, when I was in high school, that song. Or junior high, that song. What was the name of that song?
It's driving me nuts.
I'm going crazy, crazy just thinking about there you, Ryan.
What's a steering wheel called on a boat?
The big wheel.
It's like one of those in my pants. It's driving me nuts.
Yeah, I like that.
I guess I could have just said steering wheel.
It drives me nuts.
But you got to think it because it's like a pirate boat. No, that's why you say driving me.
Yeah, I know. I know the joke.
No, but I'm a stand-up comedian.
It's true. Okay. You were telling me tonight that you're a stand-up comedian.
I've been listening to a lot of stand-up.
Which makes you a stand-up.
At work. Well, it just makes me think like, fuck Bill Engvall. I can do this better. So I've been, this episode is fuck Bill Engvall.
I can do this better.
I've been workshopping while I drive.
Good.
And now I'm going to workshop with you.
Okay.
Okay. Would you like to hear my comedy?
If I say yes, like if I say no, you're still going to do it. So yeah,
just,
I'd love to.
Just say yes and go with it.
All right, let's workshop this a little bit.
Well, maybe I'll do some observational stuff. You're wearing a black shirt.
Mm-hmm.
This table's made out of wood.
Okay, I see where this bit is going. Yeah, it
is. Your fridge is white.
Off-white, but yeah.
It was rainy today.
It was rainy.
That's funny.
You've got the observation part down. I think what you're missing is like some kind of observation that leads to like an analysis or a point or a punchline, maybe.
I don't know. Like,
basically, your stand-up comedy is what happens when you go for a walk with a 3-year-old.
But
the dog is brown.
Now, what I just all the stuff I just said. I mean, that's how Jerry Seinfeld got big, and it worked pretty well for him. And there's really no difference between what I did and he did. I mean, he copied me a little, but he made his living off observations.
Observational comedy leading to humorous situations.
It was rainy today, and then my pants fell down.
Okay, how long have you spent on this routine?
When was the last time we podcasted?
Almost a month ago.
Yeah, it was pretty much since then.
Well, I can't wait to see what happens next month, because you're well on your way.
You
look like a young Don Rickles.
Yeah, that's all I got.
Rob's not here to help you let this bit die, so I'm just going to let you hang yourself out to dry as long as it takes.
Hang myself out to dry? What am I, a shirt?
Change my mind. We're going to move on because... Oh, my.
That's the roar of the crowd.
Oh, golly.
And the crowd went wild. You're so funny, Ryan. Yeah. Love you, Ryan. That was a girl. She likes me because I'm funny and because of my body.
Okay.
But really, though, there's a lot of comedians that aren't funny. It's weird. That's like saying, like,
well, there's a lot of people who aren't funny. If you think about it, most people aren't very good at their job, so why should comedians be any different?
See, but I think, like, I look at it as, like, say I was a welder, but I didn't know how to weld. Would I be able to call myself a welder?
I mean, sure.
Okay, I guess. Because, like, if you're a comedian and you don't say comedic things...
Comedy is subjective, Fran. Lots of people think... people think Larry the Kid... This is a comic podcast. Jesus.
Yeah, comic.
And the
stand-up
last
episode
we did was all, like, super on point, and we were all about comics, and this week we're talking...
And it was horrible.
It's just this... This has been a hard week, as you pointed out. The world is pretty shitty in the macro scale, and then even when you just get into the micro scale, looking at the comics world right now, it's fucking shitty, too.
I don't really know what happened there. All I know is a guy was sending... Weenies.
That was one of the things.
I saw the Spider-Woman cover, which is like...
Here's the thing. Yeah. Okay, let's talk about the Spider-Woman cover.
Okay.
So, Milo Manera, who is a famous comic book artist, specifically known for his porn comics. Like, he's an erotic comic artist. He's done a lot of that kind of stuff. And other stuff as well.
Full penetration?
Yeah, like full-on
porn
comics. So, personally, I'm a fan. I think he's fantastic. Mm-hmm. I really like Milo Manera's art. I think it's really cool. I have several of Dark Horse has been putting out these collections, the Manera Archives, so like a bunch of reprints of his old stuff. I think he's really cool.
Mm-hmm.
He did a variant cover. Marvel hired him to do a variant cover for Spider-Woman, which is laugh out loud stupid.
Mm-hmm. Not to mention, the coverage is not very good.
It's definitely not even close to his best work. Yeah. But the main thing is that it's an incredibly tone-deaf move by Marvel. Like, we can argue about the quality of the cover. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's going to be subjective, like whether or not it's well-drawn. Like, it's definitely not as best as Anatomy is wonky. It's kind of weird. Mm-hmm. And the butt thing is just odd.
It looks like two hills.
Yeah, but like it's Marvel weird. Has been taking steps recently to try to be less shitty, mm-hmm. and to publish comics with a female audience in mind and try and be more inclusive and representational, and that's really cool. But mm-hmm. so what I don't understand is who the fuck thought that was a good idea. Like, I'm not even going to say whether the cover's good or bad. It's not the point. The point is it's inappropriate for that title. Like,
yeah,
it's unnecessary. It's just so tone deaf.
The weird thing is that I give it like 3 months and then DC will hire him to draw Batgirl. So,
dude, Marvel, he's been doing variant covers for Marvel for a while. Yeah. And some of them weren't
I've seen some, like there's a Black Widow one that's fine.
Some of them are, most of his covers are good. Some of them are, I think that as much as I like Marvel Manera, he is a poor choice to be doing covers for superhero comics because I don't think that art, but at the same time, I don't think Greg Land should be doing superhero comics either. And ironically, he is the artist of the title in question. And,
is he really?
Yeah, he is.
Oh, and, well, and I was thinking about getting the book. Cover
is also shitty, not as much because it's exploitational, but because the anatomy is the shits.
Yeah, Greg... I'm sure Greg Land is a nice guy. Sure he's not a very good...
No, I mean, like, he has a thing that he does.
Yeah, it works. There
probably has fans for that, and it's just
I mean,
like...
I mean, fuck, like, Liefeld has fans.
See, yeah. I don't see any... the difference is, like, I feel like Liefeld, as much as he's, like, a crazy person with, like, a... who's an art style I don't appreciate. Mm-hmm. He also is, like, in a weird way creative. In the same way that, like, an 8-year-old is creative. But, like, he has this, like, pure comics madness about him. And as bad as his anatomy is and how I don't care for the stuff he creates, there is people who likes that kind of thing. And,
Fair enough.
You know, and he's created some fairly cool stuff.
I mean, in fairness, well...
Usually they get better when somebody else does it.
Yeah, it's debatable on if he did create him, but he did create Deadpool.
I wasn't one referring of to Deadpool. Creators.
No, I know, but he's like one of
he
those.
He also created Cable.
Although apparently that's more Louise Simonson, who was Deadpool. I've heard.
He probably drew him, but
yeah.
But he created things like Supreme and Youngblood and Prophet, and so that's cool. And he was like a major force in comics. But the main point is, Marvel should fucking know better than like. No one is even arguing that Malo Manero is a good artist. He's a fantastic artist, but don't hire your famous pervy old Italian porn comic creator to do your covers for a Spider-Woman comic. Come on.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
It's just tone deaf and it's just super dumb.
And just the cover's not good. It's so weird. It looks like she has like four different spines. It's weird, man. It's weird. This is like that Rockford was it Teen Titans book?
No, this is cover. It's a little different.
Well, but in the sense that like the main point of contention with that was like, oh, well, this 16-year-old girl looks like she's 28 with...
No, the problem was it was like a ridiculously, horribly over-sexualized version of a teenager. At least Spider-Woman's an adult.
But then the weird thing is that I looked at it and my first thought was like, this cover's kind of shitty and just like, because I didn't like
also
quality.
Not a cover.
But
I agree with you on that. But the bigger problem with that one was like, you're trying to market a Teen Titans book with it, and that was the main cover. This is a variant cover for an adult character, admittedly, and presumably the book isn't going to be aimed at tweens, but at the same time, it's a superhero book.
Yeah.
All superhero books are aimed at tweens. I hate to break it to you, even though we seem to think that the writer should be writing them as if they're aimed for 40-year-olds, but they aren't. They're fucking superheroes.
I should say, I meant in the same sense, in like, when I saw the covers... Because my first thought with both of them was, oh, that cover sucks.
My first thought when I saw the Manera cover was like, what the fuck is that? That is
And
really
my first
bad.
Thought with the Rockford cover was like, what the fuck is going... There's no perspective on this. And then it was like, oh, she's like 16. And with this
that one is more creepy. This one is more just like tone deaf.
Yeah, it's just
kind of... Like, who thought, oh yeah. And also, here's the thing. Like, he's drawn some other good games from Marvel. It should have been a case of, they got the cover and then gone... No, we can't run this.
Yeah.
Sorry, this can be our Christmas card, but we're not going to run this because you're just asking for people to get annoyed.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, that was one of the things. The other thing we were talking about was Dick Pic Gate.
Yeah, I don't really know what happened.
Okay. Other than online, like, cartoonist, whom I've talked about on the show, Stewart. He was the artist who did the JL8, which again it was a cute comic. But then I realized this was what this guy was like doing, and I was like, "That's all this guy's doing? Like, he's doing a fan art comic that, like, it was cute mm-hmm. and chibi and kind of fun, but at the same time, like, I lost interest in it super fast."
Yeah.
But the problem is, this guy turns out to be a fucking scumbag who has, mm-hmm. you know, harassed and assaulted women by sending pictures of his genitals to more than one person. And the most frustrating thing about the whole thing, I mean, unfortunately, it's not news that there's a fucking douchebag guy in comics who's being a cunt. The big problem was how many fucking dude bros were, like, jumping to his defense and demanding evidence and expect, like, for once, mm-hmm. when a woman complains about harassment or assault online, can we just fucking believe her instead of demanding proof? Yeah. For fuck's sakes. And the guy, like, deleted his Twitter, like, right away before it came up, and it was just like...
Clearly it's...
And then, oh my god, his, like, sort of, like, pseudo-apology later on, like, a forum somewhere, and he was just like, you know, I thought that we were in a relationship, and, like, I may have accidentally done this to other people, and I can't remember. It's like, dude, how many fucking dick pics did you send to random people you can't remember who you sent, like, them to, or how you, like... And then, of course, the coverage from this one website, which no one had ever heard of and will never hear of again. It was only because of this issue that they even had anyone click on their stupid website. Them talking about, like, calling it, like, a regrettable mistake or, like, a dick slip. And it's like, no, you fucking assholes. Anyway, that one really fired me up.
I mean, like, I send pictures of my butthole to everybody. But it's just, that's my thing. It's like Larry the Cable Guy's Get Her Done. Mine is, like, spread butt.
And they are equally reprehensible.
I don't consider the butt genitals, so it's good. We're good. We're all okay, fine fair here now.
Anyway, kids, don't send pictures sucks. Of your genitals to anybody unless they ask for it.
Yeah, don't do it. Because then, the very least of the problems that will happen is that if you send a picture of your genital to somebody else, they can send it to somebody too.
Well, that's the other thing. Yeah,
that's like the very least of your problems of, like, why you shouldn't do it. The reason why you shouldn't do it is because it's especially horrible. Well, in an unsolicited fashion, is because it's unsolicited and people who don't usually don't want to see that. Yeah,
that is sexual assault. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Anyway, but anyway, yeah. So that was the bigger. Those were some of the things happening in comics this week. Mm-hmm. And the last couple sucks. Nights I've been up to like 2 on Twitter just being like, fuck everything.
Oh, I know.
Like ranting and reading and...
The whole like Ferguson thing has been really upsetting me.
Yeah. That's as a black the other man. Thing. Like so. Ferguson being the real problem. Like we're talking about this, but like...
Yeah.
Which, and again, not to trivialize these issues because I think they are very important, but specific incidents like the dickhead with the dick pic and the ass cover... Ferguson obviously is like the real horrific thing happening, but so you can't even go to like the comics community to try and
I think just I might
take your mind out of it for a few minutes.
I think I might have been swayed. I think the cop had a reason because the KKK is defending him now.
Oh well,
and they're actually raising money for him.
Not only are they raising money for this shit heap, they've raised like $150,000.
Yeah,
and have you seen some of the comments from the people who have been leaving money?
No, I don't know if I want to.
Would you like to be depressed forever?
No. And the weird thing is, like, it's 2014. I thought the KKK was done. Like, I understand that there's a lot of racism still in the world, and it's horrible. But the KKK is still a thing, and that's, like,
when you're weird. Yeah, when you find yourself on the same side of a fight as the KKK, it's time to reevaluate your life.
And I just think it's weird that, like, the guy's on paid leave and they're like, we need to raise money for him. It's like, why? He's getting paid. Like,
and you know he's going to get off. Yeah. Even if they do charge him, which I bet you they will.
Mm-hmm.
He'll just get off.
Yep.
This is so depressing. Let's talk about a comic book.
Alrighty. What's a happy
Unfortunately,
one?
I had... This was a spectacular week in that so many books that I've been so excited for came out. And then... tonight I had all my plans. I was going to read these books, and I fell asleep on the couch. So I've only read 5 of my books, and none of them are the ones that I was super stoked to read. But well, that's not true. A lot of them are ones I really, really love. But let's start with one that I know we both love a lot.
Ooh, I like this one too. This because this is the 10th or 9th consecutive issue. Great issue.
Mm-hmm. This is a spectacular series. Manifest Destiny number 9 from Image Comics Skybound by Chris Dinges and Matthew Roberts and Owen Gieni.
Another great cover.
And also, I want to, because I've been trying to learn how to do lettering this week, I want to do a shout-out to Pat Brosseau, the letterer, because I love the lettering in this book. It's really good.
Mm-hmm. There's like these little, all the exposition is done like out of like Lewis's journal.
Yeah, it's super well done.
Yeah, really nice.
I don't know, I really like it. But anyway.
Even more important, monsters.
Yes, monsters, and there are some great ones. This page really bugs me, though.
Why is that?
Because the panel layout is horrible, because the way it's laid out, it looks like he's shooting a musket like instead of a rifle.
Yeah.
And you look, it's just because the two panels are side by side. If this one was like an inch lower, it would work, but it doesn't. But it isn't, so it's distracting.
Fair point. I didn't even notice that.
Well, the only reason I noticed is because the next panel, I'm like, why has he got this super, super crazy long gun all of a sudden? What happened to his little tiny musket? And I went, oh, I see. It was just a bad panel layout. But regardless, the art still looks so good in this book.
Not to mention, how terrible of a shot is he to miss this giant frog?
That was the other thing. I was just like, I did like him talking about how he was a really good shot, and then the next panel's on short went, oh, for God's sakes, Lewis, give the gun to somebody else. Be the worst shot I know.
It's like your aim's piss?
Yeah, your aim is piss. That's what it was. Let somebody else do it. Your aim is piss. I did like that a lot.
Yeah.
But, and like these giant mosquito monsters in this one were really cool. And then there was, as always, the last page is always like a splash introducing a new monster.
Mm-hmm.
And this like crazy, like alien moment was so fucking sweet.
Yeah, it's like
sweet.
A backburster.
Oh, I was so into it. Mm-hmm. God, I love it.
Mm-hmm. And also happy that the rapist died. I'm guessing he died. I hope he did.
Yeah, probably. I didn't like him either. I loved, though, that the captain was about to start beating the fuck out of him, though.
Yep.
Yep. He was going to shoot him, actually. Anyway.
Which is cool.
Yeah, I love this book so much. The covers are always so good. Oh. It's such a fun story. Monsters are the best.
It's printed on nice paper.
It is printed on very nice
printed
paper.
Printed on nice
paper. Did you read the preview pages for the new book in the back?
I read it like 2 weeks
first,
ago.
Right? I was going to get it anyway. Because
it's Josh Williamson, isn't it?
Yeah, Josh Williamson. Yeah. And I just the preview pages, the art was really good.
Mm-hmm.
Just about everything from Skybound I think is worth checking out.
I like the art because of Ghosted and Nailbiter. I will always check out a Josh Williamson book because
he's great,
very
yeah.
quickly really becoming like one of my favorite writers.
Yeah, I have to read the second Ghosted trade still.
It's fantastic.
I'm sure.
The new arc just kicked off, and it's like...
Great cover.
It's different, but it's...
Because the first one, they were stealing a ghost. The second one, they were...
There's like this, that weird like temple, Aztec temple kind of thing. Right. And there's like kind of like a death cult kind of thing. It's cool.
Okay, and what's the third one so far?
Oh, I can't remember.
All right.
But I can't remember, but I remember really liking it, and David Gianfelice is back. I know the issue before was kind of like a backstory issue, which is cool, about the agent from the like blonde lady.
Yep.
That spoilers, she died, but it's like her backstory and stuff. It's pretty cool. Yeah, I don't know. That book is rad. And Nailbiter's, I wasn't interested in Nailbiter at all, and then
it's
I picked it up just because I was like, I'll give it a shot, and it's it's awesome.
So
awesome.
We have a lot of pent up grumpiness today.
Oh my god, right?
Let's take it out on the undeserving. Let's take it out on Newsarama's new top 10.
Oh no, they're probably
the
deserving.
10 no brainer titles DC should launch. So these are the books that Newsarama says are no brainers that DC should launch. And if there's one thing Newsarama knows, it's no brainers. Here's the thing.
You should be the stand up comedian.
I like Newsarama fine. Yeah. I don't know why I've decided that it's always going to be like the but. To me, Newsarama is like Arby's to The Daily Show. Newsarama has done nothing to deserve this. I'm just always going to pick on Newsarama.
The only thing I'm like worried about is that there's going to be either a Batman or a Superman book that they think is a no-brainer to be launched, which is going to be like, but there's like 8 of each.
My problem, I believe, is that... I'm suspecting there's going to be books in here that are going to say, this is a no-brainer. You're going to be like, that book was a no-brainer when it came out.
And was canceled
at a very
after
specific
ages.
Point in time. And you're saying, just bring it back. Like, I guarantee Green Lantern, Green Arrow is going to be on this list. Which, again, only ran for like 9 or 10 issues or something like that. But again, that book would not... You can't just like recapture the magic. You can't put the genie back in the bottle. Some things should be allowed to just stand on their own and be a thing. Like,
was that Denny O'Neill?
Yeah, Denny O'Neill and Neil Adams, which is what launched both of them into superstardom.
There's a kind of a neat PBS series on Netflix, yeah, about comic book, yeah, with like Liev Schreiber. Yeah. It's like, it's very basic and just goes, yeah, like over the basic, but it's, I like it. It's cool.
That's
and
why then, I haven't watched it yet, because I feel like, yeah, I'll put it on in the background one day, but I know it's not going to teach me anything.
Yeah, like for you, it probably won't. It's kind of neat because like they do have interviews with a lot of like Denny O'Neill and,
yeah,
Neil Adams are there.
Seeing,
they have some Jack Kirby stuff in there, like interview stuff there. It's cool.
That basically any documentary on the history of superhero comics should be 90% Kirby and 10% everybody else.
They like mention him a lot, but the part where they actually just talk about Kirby is so quick, and I think it's Denny O'Neill is like, yeah, he's like, there's comics before Kirby and then there's comics after Kirby, and that's what you need to know about Kirby.
But yeah, basically there is Kirby and Moebius. Those are like the big two in my opinion. Like, nobody changed comics more. See, and there's one for each continent, basically.
Kirby, all red.
There is no All Red without Mobius. There is no All Red without Kirby.
Definitely no All Red without Kirby.
Definitely. Anyway, let's get into this list. Yep. Anything else you think they're going to show? I guarantee also. I bet you they're going to say Sandman. Which is stupid because they're already doing it.
Like Sandman, like Neil Gaiman Sandman?
Yeah, I bet you they're going to bring him into the DC New 52, which they can't, but anyway.
Yeah. There was one that I was going to say, but I can't remember what it was.
All right, let's see what number 10 is. Number 10 is Green Lantern, Green Arrow. Yeah, for several years they prepared to take on both Cosmic Flood. That's not even true. I'm fairly certain that there were only like a handful of issues of Green Lantern, Green Arrow, like not more than one trade.
Also, like, so were they just joined up because they're both green?
Basically, yeah. It was like they gave them to Denny O'Neill and Neil, and he was just like, all right, I guess I want to do street level comics, so. Mm. And they're good comics. They're, you know, they're
a street level comic with a space cop.
Well, exactly. But it was cool because it was very much like the fascist space cop and the Bleeding Heart liberal, and they worked together, and it was cool stuff.
I heard it like
granted,
very socially
little,
conscious,
yeah,
and
very,
stuff,
but, and to the point now where it's almost awkward how socially conscious they are. But like at the time, more power to him. Mm-hmm. Now it would read a little stilted, but still they look fantastic. And Daniel Neal was the greatest. But, so no, DC, don't fucking add those. To bring this back. This one might be a long shot, but the right creative team could make it work. Yeah, they did. It was Denny O'Neill and Neil Adams, and they did it, and it's done, so let it go. Number 9, Lobo. Well, there is a fucking Lobo book.
I was going to say, isn't there one coming out?
Yeah, I thought Colin Bunn was writing it.
Maybe it got canceled already. I wouldn't put it past
yet,
DC.
Though. I'm positive that there's a Lobo comic coming out.
There was, because wasn't there like a redesign, like a new Lobo?
Yeah, and that's the one that I'm sure.
Yeah, and that's the art for the new Lobo.
Well, this is when they redesigned the character, but I'm positive that there is a Lobo comic coming out.
So
like,
good.
I think Colin Bunn is writing it.
You know what? I just remembered what the one I figured would be on here is Shazam.
I'm surprised there isn't one.
In fairness, if it's a Gary Frank Shazam, I'm in. Because those backups were
good. It won't be, but
yeah. Those backups are good.
I don't know. New 52 Lobo gets an ongoing series. They announced this in July.
Wow. I mean, no brainer.
Good grief. Yeah, no kidding. Good job, guys. No problem. They should totally launch this. Well, they are stupid. Okay, number 8. Cyborg. No!
What? Like, you know that member of the Justice League nobody cares about? Let's give him his own book.
The last time anyone, I think, gave a flying fuck about Cyborg was on the Teen Titans.
Yeah.
When I would point out Marv Wolfman was writing the Teen Titans in the 80s. Like, they have taken him and made him so fucking boring. I haven't read Justice League since the first 6 or 7 issues of the new run
because
I hated it, but...
Or I guess I got to about, like, issue 10 or 11. But, yeah. Like, clearly he's the, like, most irrelevant member of that team.
Yeah, and well, apparently he's going to be in that new shitty Batman-Superman movie, so that's probably why they think it's a good time. And I'm sure he'll get a series, but...
Yeah.
I don't really care at all. Okay, number 7. Red Robin. No,
I thought he did have one, but
it was before the New 52.
Yeah. I mean, he's in Teen Titans.
He's in Teen Titans, But here's the thing. The Tim Drake Robin book was a spectacular book for his long time, when Chuck Dixon was on it and Scott McDaniel. It was a great book. But, you know, I think the whole idea of the Red Robin thing is now when his wings are stupid. And like most of the New 52 costume redesign, it's terrible, but...
Yeah.
He was a really great... Tim is probably my favorite Robin, if I had to pick one. Tim or Stephanie?
I have, like, zero opinion on...
Tim, maybe Damian, but probably Tim. Tim was the one that... He was the Robin for the longest time when I was reading Batman comics.
I like the one from The Dark Knight Returns.
Carrie Kelly?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's and weird. She was cool. But yeah, I mean, like, when I was a kid reading, well, when I was a kid, Dick Grayson was probably still Robin, but like, mm-hmm. when I started buying comics, and I read Robin for several years, Tim Drake was Robin, and his whole, like, arc was really cool. And then, you know, I never cared about Jason Todd, really. I liked mm-hmm. him better when he came back as a villain. And then, like, a begrudging sort of a hero, but not the current incarnation.
Yeah.
And Dick, I always liked his Nightwing better. And actually, I like him as Super Spy Dick Grayson.
Sorry, and Dick you always liked?
I've always liked Dick.
Yeah.
Just love it. Just like,
would you say Dick
tastes yummy?
How did you know where I was going with that?
Because
we both like him.
Okay, sidebar. Nicole and I watched Jay and Silent Bob's super groovy cartoon movie this week.
Yeah. Is it fantastic?
No, it's horrible. Dude, this is something clearly Kev wrote when he was like when he was doing comics way back.
Yeah.
And gave to Muse and Stark. Because as Nicole and I were watching, we were like, if I was 14, I probably would have liked this a lot.
Hmm.
But even you won't like it, dude.
Really?
It's not funny. It's so dumb. And it's like the most one-note repetitive thing. It's all just like Jay swearing and farts. And dicks and cum. I'm just like.
I mean, I think that's funny though.
No, you won't find this as
okay.
Funny. There
think
are
that's
bits
sexy.
Of it that are funny, but it's not that good.
Really?
It was more like, just like. It was nice of Kev to throw something for Stark and Muse to do, but
yeah.
Oh god, it was. So
hey,
dumb.
He's gonna be in what's the Hoser
Yoga
movie?
Hosers.
Is that the weirdest thing in the world? Kevin Smith and Johnny fucking Depp.
Yeah, starring their daughters.
Yeah, like.
I think it looks
strange.
Funny. I think it sounds really funny.
I think it sounds cool. Apparently Johnny Depp is in...
Yeah, he's playing Gila
Tusk,
Point.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, so don't bother. Even you won't like it. Even for the Ralph Garman playing Dickhead, it's not
yeah.
worth it. It's not worth
God,
it.
I love Ralph Garman.
I know you
as a sidebar...
another sidebar. Sidebar.
Every time an issue of Green Arrow, or Batman 66 meets Green Arrow gets released, they do a Babylon Comic Theater.
Yeah.
And it's gotten to the point now, like I was listening to the third one as I was driving in, and it's like Ralph does every voice, and Kevin just does General Gum as Bane. but then it's like Adam West, Batman, Burt Ward, Robin, and then Green Hornet is Sean Connery, Kato is Arnold Schwarzenegger because they thought it'd be insensitive to do an Asian, so they went to the next country and did Austrian. And but it's like it's the
that's
most
funny.
Ridiculous thing I've it's
that's funny.
And it's but it's sweet because I don't know, it's funny.
No, I like that. I like those guys, but yeah,
yeah.
Just don't bother. Like it basically imagine what a movie would be like if Muse was in charge of it.
Yeah.
Like, I don't listen to Get Old either because Muse isn't funny. It's just like, it's you're 40, dude. Making jokes about poopy and pee-pee and doo-doos are not as funny as they were when I was 14. Which isn't to say that they should stop. It's just, I'm not 14. Let the new batch of 14-year-olds laugh at it for a while.
True.
Had this movie come out when I was 14, I probably would have loved it.
Yeah.
Had I not had any affection for some of the characters and for, like, the U.S. universe, as it were, I probably would have hated this movie.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that Neil Gaiman plays Albert the Butler and he's pretty funny. And there's one gag that I really like when they run into the video store, which is the entrance to the Blunt Cave.
Mm-hmm.
And he's in like pulling the video to make the door open up. But Jay grabs the wrong one and pulls, and all the DVDs fall off the shelf except for the one. And Silent Bob just looks at him and shakes his head and pulls the one. Like, that's a funny gag. Anyway, so Red Robin. Yeah, I mean, that makes sense. There isn't a Robin book right now. There isn't a Robin right now.
Well, there's a... They're bringing back Robin, and it is Batman and Robin now again. But
yeah, but it's still him looking for Damian's corpse.
Is it?
Yeah. I don't read the book, but I mean, it'd be fine if they brought him back.
Is he going to, like, Lazarus pit him back to life?
Well, it would make sense.
Yeah.
Number 6, The Brave and the Bold. Thank you. Yes. the digital first Batman 66 shows that a lighter take on the character still works and still appeals to fans. It's the only thing that appeals to me as a fan anyway, but... The Batman Brave and the Bold animated series is still like my second favorite Batman incarnation next to the Batman the animated series.
Which is on Netflix. Canadian Netflix.
Yeah.
Just the first season though.
Still so good.
I need to watch it.
You need to watch Justice League and Justice League Unlimited as well, but so good. So yes, if they would bring this back tomorrow and let Shally Fish write this book again, because I was buying it when they were making it.
Mm-hmm.
It was so good. As long as they didn't try and make it a new 52 thing.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to see that.
Like how like Batman.
Like if it was just Batman. If it just became a Batman team up in a new 52, I don't want to read that. I just want to read Batman teaming up with like Katana and Plastic Man to fight Crazy Quilt.
Batman Beyond is the one that's in Batman or is in like Future's End, right?
Yeah,
yeah.
I love
like,
Batman Beyond, by the way.
But why is he in Future's End?
Because they don't have any more original ideas at DC and haven't for a long time. Number five, the Atom. Okay, I actually agree with this one. Except
like Ray Palmer Atom?
That's the problem. Ray Palmer is currently the Atom. He's the original Atom, and they brought him back, and that's great. But for me, Ryan Choi will always be the Atom. He was my favorite Atom. That book was so good. It's still my favorite thing Gail Simone's ever written. I loved that series. You would love the Gail Simone Atom book.
Really?
It is so much fun. The first few issues are like John Byrne. And then like Mike Norton does a bunch of it, and I always go back to this one issue where he fights Jetpack Hitler. Dude, you would love this book. It is so, and like all of the original like notes and ideas for this series were from like a Morrison pitch that Grail Simone just adapted and wrote, and it's so good. It was so much fun. I loved that book.
So she takes like Morrison and makes him like readable.
You're an asshole. But no, it's like crazy fun Silver Agey Morrison goodness, but with like Gail Simone sensibility. It's a really good book. God, I love that book.
I'll check that out.
But I don't have much interest in Ray Palmer. You know, whatever. I don't care. Number four.
I whenever I think of Ray Palmer, I think of that show with Liev Schreiber. Is that what it's called? Ray Palmer?
Ray, I don't know. I have no
idea. Something like that. And he's like a Boston guy.
I have no idea.
It's supposed to be really good.
Number four is Booster Gold. I'm surprised that there isn't one, but...
Yeah. Well, wasn't he like a huge character like a couple years, like basically before New 52?
I mean, yeah, Jeff Johns launched him with him, which was, by the way, my favorite DC book for a while. It was really, really good. Mm-hmm. He's always even better when they pair him with Ted Kord, and apparently Ted Kord is coming back in Justice League, who was the Blue Beetle.
Mm-hmm.
Although I quite like the current Blue Beetle, Jamie, but Ted Kord was so much fun. And Booster and Blue Beetle together were hilarious back in the old Justice League International days, which is my favorite Justice League run. So it would be cool, but at the same time, I have no faith in... The only time I can remember... I know he's in like Future's End, I think, but the only New 52 exposure to Booster Gold I've had was when he was in...
Wasn't he in like All-Star Western? Yeah.
Barely. He shows up, and it makes sense. And I remember I was saying, like, it's weird that they brought Jonah Hex. Jonah Hill is...
I would watch Jonah Hex reboot.
Jonah Hill.
Sorry, Jonah Hill.
But when they brought him to Modern Times...
Did you ever see Jonah Hex?
No.
Not great.
I didn't think it was.
But it's Malkovich being like crazy. I don't
really like Malkovich.
Really? You've seen Rounders, right?
Yeah. Like, I just find him...
Give the man his money. It's that Malkovich. Like, just everything's big. And Fassbender's kind of cool in it. And
yeah.
Like, Josh Brolin sucks.
But and Megan Fox.
She looks nice, and then that's it.
Did you hear her comments about people who don't like the Ninja Turtles movie?
No.
She's like, oh, fuck them. And I was like, you know, you're an idiot, and your movie looks terrible, but that's kind of funny.
Super
She's
true.
Like, oh, you don't like it?
Wait, you think that movie looks terrible?
Yeah.
I think that movie looks kind of fun, and I've heard people be like...
I think it looks terrible, but at the same time, I was never going to see it anyway. Even though it was good. I'm not...
I think people have too much reverence for the source material.
Well, the funny thing is, to me, what I've always thought and respected about the Ninja Turtles... Mm-hmm. is that they have reinvented the Ninja Turtles every 5 years for every new generation of 8-year-old boys.
Yeah.
And 8-year-old girls, for that matter. Mm-hmm. So for adults, people in their late 20s and 30s and 40s, for that matter, bitching that, like, oh, they changed the Ninja Turtles. Mm-hmm. I'm like, they've been fucking changing the Ninja Turtles every 5 years. First of all, you're an adult. You don't get to have a goddamn opinion about the Ninja Turtles, you idiot.
And isn't, like, original Eastman and Waltz, like, is it Waltz?
Eastman.
Is it,
oh, it's Eastman and Laird. Waltz is the guy writing it with.
There we go,
now,
yeah.
But... Wasn't it
dark
when they first launched it? Yeah, it was a parody of Frank Miller's Daredevil.
Yeah.
It was like grim. I mean, most of us grew up on the animated series, but there's been a different animated series every time. The biggest reason I think this current movie is just a dumb idea and tone deaf is that the current animated series has a huge fan base, but they changed everything from it, and it has nothing to do with that. So, like, why would you alienate their current fans?
No.
I don't get it. But, again, I wasn't going to see it anyway, so...
Fair enough. I don't know. Check
people who have like a strong opinion about the Ninja Turtles movie, I find questionable because they are adults.
Yeah.
You know, and here's the thing: like, I've never given a fuck about the Transformers movies because I'm not really a Transformers fan. But also, I'm a grown up, and really, come on, calm down. But at the same time, I did love the Ninja Turtles. Like, I never cared about Transformers ever. Mm-hmm. I liked Beast Wars, but I didn't care about Transformers. And then, as an adult, when I was able to find the early stuff. I went back to try and rewatch the G1 Transformers because that's the stuff all my friends liked. And I'm like, this fucking cartoon sucks.
Yeah.
It is horrible. I've never liked Transformers. It is stupid, and every episode is a toy commercial. More than most cartoons.
I've never liked Transformers. Apparently, when I was a child, I loved Ninja Turtles. I can't remember this, but I know I had Ninja Turtles sheets. Yeah. I know I was like, I think I was Raphael for like two or three Halloweens in a row.
The Ninja Turtles are wicked cool, man. And like, there are modern versions of the Transformers that I've liked, like some of the later cartoons, but I've never stuck with them because I don't have any affinity for the source material. I like giant robots that have people in them more than giant robots who are aliens, I guess, or something. I don't know.
See, I've never really cared for G.I. Joe.
See, I was the G.I. Joe kid.
Retaliation came out, and it blew my mind.
I remember.
And it is still my favorite movie, probably.
I like that movie. But yeah, honestly, I was always way more of a G.I. Joe kid, too.
Yeah.
But anyway, Booster Gold. I could see that, but whatever. Number three.
Grifter.
Shazam, there you go.
There. See, like that makes sense, though. They spent a lot of time building him up in the backstories. Yeah,
unfortunately for me, like, in doing so, they totally killed any interest I have in that character.
You didn't like it?
Well, okay.
Fair enough.
I didn't like it because they went out of their way to make a book that wasn't aimed at me. And not everything has to be aimed at me. My Shazam, my Captain Marvel, is always going to be Jeff Smith.
Yeah, fair enough.
You know, like, either the classic C.C. Beck stuff or the Jeff Smith stuff. Like, you know me. I like superheroes to be fun. I don't like aggressive...
See, and the Jeff Smith stuff isn't really fun.
It is super fun.
It's like the most fun thing I've ever read.
Yeah. But like... I
was being silly.
I don't know. You know my thoughts on D.C. aggressivizing all of...
Making every superhero Batman?
Yeah. And even Batman being... boring,
overboard,
you know, just like everything has to be. And we've talked about grim and gritty, but aggressive is more the word, I think. Like Billy Batson is like a dickhole.
Yeah,
and I get it.
Had a cool arc by the end of it, yeah, but
I don't have any interest. But I don't know. I'll always gravitate towards fun superheroes, and that doesn't mean that superhero comics can't be serious for me. But they have to have a sense of wonder and fun and joy to them. And there's no joy in the new Shazam at all. And Shazam is one of the coolest, like, best kid fantasy joy comics ever,
see,
right?
I think that's why I like the character Shazam, or Captain Marvel, is because of, like, the whole, like, that what the word Shazam stands for. He gets the power of, like, seven gods. And,
yeah, the
like,
wisdom of Solomon, the strength of Hercules, and all that stuff. And he's six gods, you idiot. And,
well, I mean,
and like, this cool kid, this little kid who says the magic word and can turn into Shazam. And for the record, doing like an adult gritty take on Shazam has already been fucking done because Alan Moore did it with Miracle Man, so what I'm reading right now, or Marvel Man, or as they call it now, Miracle Man, which I'm reading now. It's the same thing. Like, he has a magic word that this kid says to turn into Miracle Man.
Really?
Yeah, that's how it works. Like, weird. He was a ripoff of Captain Marvel originally, and he was called Marvel Man. And it's really good, but at the same time, like, we don't need you to retell this story, guys. It's already been done.
Yeah.
You know, and someone already did it pretty good. Like, why keep trying to reinvent the Watchmen? Why do you keep trying to do Watchmen? You're not going to do better than Watchmen. And I don't even mean beyond Watchmen. I mean, like, doing superhero teams that are aggressive and gritty. That's why I don't like the Authority. That's why I've never been able to get, like, the Authority or the Ultimates. Any, like, superheroes from the real world.
When you said the Authority, all I thought was, like, I was like, they're so hateable.
I like them a lot. They're great.
Yeah.
No,
Steph
mean,
is
like,
the best heel in wrestling right
like
now.
Like the Wildstorm book, The Authority, which was basically just what if all of the DC pantheon were, like, real people and it was aggressive and serious. But anytime you try and set superhero comics in the real world, you lose me because, A, it's boring. B, you're not going to do it better than Alan Moore did it. And if Alan Moore has done it, and it was Watchmen, and there's no denying how good Watchmen is, why keep doing it? You know? Like, even Frank Miller, who did, like, gritty stuff, his was not the real world, right? Like, Dark Knight Returns is not what if Batman was real, you know?
Yeah, considering in that he, like, punches Superman with a kryptonite glove.
But, like, Watchmen is, like, basically what if superheroes lived in the real world. And he told that story, and there's certain stories that just become... That's it. There's no need to do that. I mean, maybe somebody will have a cool idea, and there can be different takes around it. Like, Powers is kind of like superheroes in the real world, but it's an interesting, different take. Doing Shazam the way they did it in Justice League was basically just doing Miracle Man in a boring version.
Fair enough.
So, yeah, that's the big... I don't know. Superheroes were fun, and I don't see a lot of kids getting into superhero comics anyway. I guess they have the movies and the TV shows and the video games.
And see, apparently they are going to do a Shazam movie. I read... Now, this is weird, because I read it on a wrestling site, so who knows if it's actually true, but apparently The Rock did confirm that he's going to play either Black Adam or
Shazam. He says he doesn't know who he's playing, yeah. So I bet you he's playing both, but that'd be cool.
That would be really cool. I see him more as Black Adam than Shazam.
Oh my fuck. Number two is the Sandman.
Like, why?
How can you get a job writing for fucking comic news website and not know that part of the deal that he made is that he's not allowed to, like, unless Neil Gaiman is doing it, he's not allowed to show up anywhere else.
Is that, like...
That was, like, part of his deal. It's like, you can't continue the book after I'm gone. I don't know if it's that they can't or if they agreed not to. So maybe when Neil Gaiman's gone, they'll do it. But at the moment, I just... Oh, my God. What a terrible idea. This is possibly the worst list we've ever done on this show. This guy's an idiot. We've already seen John Constantine make a high-profile transition from the world of Vertigo to
Make 52. A what transition?
Yeah, high-profile. Dude, that book up to issue 19.
I thought you were going to say it was like synonymous with good, and I was like, I have not really heard anything good about him in the New 52.
God, this guy's stupid. Listen to this. You're integrating him into the New 52 could yield some immense publicity and hopefully sales. If not his own series just yet, imagine Sandman joining Justice League, Dark, or even the main Justice League. The idea of him joining a superhero team might be jarring to most, but a good storyteller thrives on telling stories about the unthinkable, especially when it's this enticing. This would easily be the worst idea in the history of the world. And good for you, Ed Eschler, leaving a comic on this comment saying, putting Sandman in the Justice League for anything more than a one-off or miniseries is the dumbest thing I've ever heard of. Putting him in it at all is the dumbest thing I've ever heard of. The early Sandman issues, where like you can tell it's in the DCU and he meets some characters from the DCU, are... by far the worst issues of the run.
Really?
By far.
I've never read any Sandman.
It's one of the greatest comics ever written. But the first couple arcs, the first arc really, it's still set in the DCU, and so there's a little bit of interaction with, not like with Batman and stuff, but like the Scarecrow, I think, was in it. Like, so there's little things where like you can see it's still tied into the DCU, because it was before Vertigo was Vertigo, right?
Yeah.
But, oh my god, this is a bad idea. I can't imagine what their number one is going to be.
It's going to be like Batman, Lex Superman,
Luthor. Well, that one actually does make sense, because they made Lex Luthor a character now in the New 52. He's a superhero after Forever Evil or whatever. So this makes sense. I don't want to read it, but it makes sense.
Yeah.
Sandman, what a fucktard. Oh, that just irritates me now. Like,
was Lex Luthor number one?
Yeah.
Oh.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
I still don't like want to read it, but it makes sense.
I'm shocked there was nothing about like Joker. I totally could have seen them been like, we need an ongoing Joker series. I don't know why I thought they would have that. I wouldn't read it, fuck no, but people would buy it. Yep. Well, here, I'm going to talk about a book then.
Do it.
I don't know which one I'm going to talk about. I know, I'm going to talk about this one.
Okay, don't spoil it, because I haven't read it yet, I'm very excited too.
Okay, the end, everybody dies. Oh, don't spoil it.
You silly Billy.
I didn't. I bought The Multiversity by Grant Morrison and Ivan Rice.
See, I would have actually guessed that you would like this because Captain Carrot is in it. And if ever there was a character that was like...
Made
for Ryan, it's Captain Carrot and the Zoo Crew.
If I can find the title page that happens like fucking halfway through the book.
I hate that.
Ugh. It's like literally... It's a page away from the staples. Ivan Rice, Joe Prado does the inks, and Nell Rufino, I don't know, does the colors. Todd Klein's letter, by the way. I bought this having no idea. I was talking to Rob about this because I was like, shockingly, I really like this book. And he's like, I was like, I totally expected it to be like the Morrison I don't like, but it was just really fun. Rob even said, like, yeah, he's like, it's a lot of like weird fourth world stuff, and there's some characters that, like, if you haven't read a lot of Morrison stuff, if you haven't read, what's the other?
Seven Soldiers?
No, Infinite Crisis, maybe?
Final Crisis?
Final Crisis, maybe? Yeah. He's like, if you haven't read that, then, like, you won't know some of these people. I got the gist of it. There's a bit of, like, I almost want to say a prologue that, didn't make sense, but you can, like, if I can piece it together, what's happening, and enjoy it. And
my favorite Morrison is always Silver Agey Crazy Morrison, and this strikes me as a very Silver Agey Crazy Morrison book.
Yeah. It's very, like, destruction is imminent. What did we do? I don't think there's really a spoiler, but there's lots of the different universes, like, basically they're Justice Leagues, but, like, so many of them are tropes of, like, the Avengers and stuff like that. And it, like, it's just, it's really fun, and there's lots of, like, fun, silly characters. Captain Carrot is the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen.
Dude, the original Captain Carrot is so much fun.
There's this part here, I don't think this is a spoiler, but there's, like, this kind of Hulk trope, and he bashes Captain Carrot, and then he goes, who else wants to argue with cartoon physics, after he bounces back up and punches him? Nice. But, it's just silly and fun, and like I said, there's definitely parts that were, like, too Morrison-ish for me, where it's, I don't know what's happening, and it's probably just because I haven't read a lot of his DC stuff anyways, and mm-hmm. I don't really know these characters, but it's definitely out there. But it was a lot of fun, and it was, I don't know if it was worth $5. I'd rather pay, like, $3 or $4, but whatever.
There's a Photoshop version of Nicki Minaj from the Anaconda video as Spider-Woman. Spider-Woman. Have you seen the Anaconda video?
No.
It's I've awesome. Heard it's a really cool video.
Like, I heard the song, and I saw, like, the picture like the that she released, because everybody was, like,
she's
all mad about it.
On Drake. At the very end of the video for, like, 20 seconds.
She lap dances on Drake?
Is it Drake? I think it's Drake. I wouldn't recognize Drake.
Drake is the... I like Drake.
I know who he is. In a weird way. Him.
I like Drake because it's like, oh, that's that nice half-black, half-Jewish boy from Toronto. Toronto.
Toronto. Well, anyway, I'm looking forward to reading that tonight after you go home.
Can I tell you a fun sports story?
Yeah.
So Drake...
Well, I'm not here to complain. Go for it.
Right on. Drake is actually a part of the Toronto Raptors organization. He's, like, their global ambassador is his title, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he was at a concert in Toronto, and there was this basketball player named Kevin Durant who was at the concert, and he plays for, I think, Oklahoma City, and he is not a free agent until either next year or the year after. Anyways, during the concert, he asked the crowd to show his boy Kevin Durant what it would be like if he came and played in Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
The NBA then fined Toronto $25,000 for tampering with a player who's contracted by another team.
Okay.
The weirdest story I've ever heard. And apparently Drake doesn't actually earn a check from the Toronto Raptors. He just does it because he likes Toronto and the Raptors, mm-hmm. I guess. So they can't even, like, fine him or anything. But it's, like, the weirdest sports story I've ever heard.
Hey, did you get the WWE Network?
No, you can't get it here yet unless you have Rogers.
Oh, you need Rogers.
Yeah, and I don't think
Rogers...
Instead
of offering an online channel, they teamed up with Rogers and launched the network as a premium cable tool. That's stupid. I don't want that.
And I don't even think, actually, you can get Rogers TV here.
And it has a limited video library.
And by that, they mean they don't. It, like, literally...
But it does include the pay-per-views.
All they have now is the streaming. Like, the streaming 24-hour thing.
That sucks.
Yeah. Why does Rogers have to ruin everything?
Because it's Canada. Mm-hmm. It's just what we do now.
Like, first Rogers ruined the Blue Jays by saying, hey, we have all this free content for our, like, 600 sports channels because we own a baseball team that plays 162 games a year. And then they said, nope, we're not going to spend any more money on them to make them actually good, which makes me mad. And then they also had to fuck up the WWE Network.
God.
Like, just make it like Netflix.
Yeah. Give us
please.
Yeah.
Please, I'd pay $15 a month for it. I don't give a shit. It'd be worth it. I'd pay $30 a month, because you're still saving money off the pay-per-view.
Yeah, I mean, for $30 a month, I might not get it, but I don't know.
You come over for the pay-per-views anyways.
Yeah, I can be the pay-per-views, and really, for only $9.99.
It's actually $11.99, $12.99.
There's a meme I just saw on the internet, and it was, it's Taz and, the fucking horrible commentator from
Mike Tenay
saying, Taz, if you want to relive the Dudleys versus the Hardys one more time, you can enjoy their classic encounter from Royal Rumble 2000 and much more for only $9.99.
Yeah, apparently in Canada, not getting good reviews. Because it's available in so many limited places. Like,
weirdly enough,
limited
apparently it's exceeded WWE expectations.
Really?
Yeah, so it's that's good. Maybe that means they'll be like, okay, let's give them the real thing now, or do whatever it takes to get the real thing.
They have been sued by... I think they have two lawsuits against them right now for misleading misleading investors on how much they would make off of it, though.
Much
they would profit off it. Because apparently they, like... They have like 800,000 subscribers in the States, and they wanted to get to 1 million by the end of the year. And in that case, they figured that they would break even on all the money they've put into the network in like 2 or 3 years or something. Like, it's stupid how much money they put into it.
Good though, that's what you got to do. Like, they have
but
the money.
That's the thing, and they're getting. I don't even know if I want to say they're getting ahead of the curve, but
they're
jumping onto the curve.
No, they're getting. Absolutely. Like, here's the thing, that is still ahead of the curve. Other than Netflix, what on-demand libraries are there really that are widely available to everybody?
True.
You know, and like, you talk about a company that has
endless
content library, you know? Like,
oh, yeah.
The tape libraries they own, oh my God. And stuff that they've bought that they aren't doing anything with, you know? Like
Mid-South stuff.
Mid-South, Smoky Mountain, all the stuff that they've bought, the WCW library, right? Like, okay, you put out two DVDs a year, but like... Yeah,
they have how many episodes of Nitro and Thunder that they could just put on?
Well, I think a lot of them are... I think most of Nitro's on there, isn't it? On
the
American
one. They,
like, all of Raw is on there.
They air it on, like, the streaming part.
They don't have all of Nitro on demand yet?
No.
But that's the thing.
They have all the WCW pay-per-views and ECW pay-per-views.
So there you go. That's all stuff that they've bought that is just sitting in a vault, not really making them any money.
Yeah.
You know, and so even if you don't make a crazy amount of money in the first year, after 5 or 6 years, when this becomes the way people watch television...
It's weird because they're in that middle ground between sports and entertainment, where sports is the thing that will keep television viable for the foreseeable future. And
but the
thing
about
the
sports,
thing.
Other than wrestling, like, is there much replay value in watching a basketball game after it's over?
No.
Nobody goes back and watches an old basketball game unless it's a major thing. But would you and I go back and watch the entire Smoky Mountain tape library?
Absolutely.
Fuck yes, we would. Yeah. And we would do it more than once because we're stupid.
Do you know how many times I have watched, like, pretty much each WrestleMania?
Yeah.
Even, like,
exactly.
Like WrestleMania,
first,
4. Yeah. And, like, WrestleMania 4, which is,
the
like,
not a great
WrestleMania, I have probably watched that 6 or 7 times.
Yeah.
I've seen most Royal Rumbles at least 2 or 3 times.
When I was a kid, I had... When I was, 13 to 17, I had a bunch of pay-per-views on VHS that I wore out.
Mm-hmm.
I have seen WrestleMania 2000 more times than anybody in their right mind needs to see it.
Yeah, because I went... Like, you should have waited for the year after.
Yeah, well, I have that one, too.
Wow.
I have that one on DVD. In fact, I got rid of a bunch of my wrestling DVDs lately because I was like, I don't need these.
Yeah.
Because I can get them all online really easily. Mm-hmm. But I did keep a few...
For just $9.99.
But I did keep... WrestleMania 17.
Attaboy.
And I rewatched it recently, and I was like, I can't wait till my son is big enough that we can watch this together, because goddamn, this is so good.
Oh, there's really not a low point on that. Like, maybe match. Is it China and Ivory?
Yeah.
Like, that's probably, mostly because I don't like her song.
And she comes out, and that was when she was, like, the pink, sparkly, crazy.
Yeah,
she was the Glamazon
before.
Doesn't
she have, like, the
t-shirt cannon? Or
it was, like, the firework cannon
thing.
Or something. Yeah.
Ugh. Well, before we wrap up...
And the bad thing is that Ivory's a really good wrestler, too.
Yeah, she's not bad. I'm going to hit the last three comics that I read.
I'll hit the last
And you can hit the last ones you read. And then we'll get to our picks. So, this book has, after 2 issues, become one of my favorite books coming out.
This looks really neat, actually.
The Life After by Joshua Fialkov and Gabo. So, basically, the basic premise is this guy, and he's awoken. He's found out that he is in purgatory for suicides. So, this is him... And Ernest Hemingway wandering around purgatory for suicides, trying to figure out what's going on. But he also has this power where he can, like, touch people and see their backstory. And it's also, like, a bit like Matrix-y, because there's, like, these people who are, like, controlling it, watching them on screens, and they're glitchy, so you don't really know what exactly is going on. But him and Hemingway somehow have, like, awoken. But there's also this great splash page with all these cool monsters, which I liked. I like monsters.
Ooh,
as
like
you know.
Monsters too.
But it's just, like, a really fun concept, and the Hemingway character is super fun. There was actually a couple moments in this where I actually laughed out loud, which is, you know, not that often when I read a comic where I laugh out loud, ones that are funny. Mm-hmm. So, like, after Hemingway's explained to, like, the 15th time where they are and how it's going, and then there's a great line, it's just like, so, hold on, you're the Ernest Hemingway? Suddenly we can't keep doing this part, okay? Sorry, I read your book in high school, the one about the fish. My only company in Infinity, and he's a moron. And then later on, it's like, fine, okay, fine, let's do this. Whatever you want, you can ask me, and we can move on. why does everyone jump off the bridge? Pause. You don't want to know about World War One? No. Which is funny if you like Hemingway. So I like, oh, this is a funny book. But it's a cool idea. Like, mm-hmm. The Matrix meets, I don't know, Wrist Cutters, a love story. But with cool monsters and Hemingway and... I don't know. I just think it's cool.
And some and really, this, really nice looking monster art.
At the end. Yeah, the art's pretty cool. I mean, I hate to be this guy, but it's almost too bad that Nick Pitara does the covers. Because the covers are so good.
Yeah.
And the interior art is really good, but like... Nick Pitara is a personal favorite of mine, so it's not really fair to to gavel. Next one was, did you read Black Market, number 2?
Yes, I did.
Frank Barbier and Victor Santos. I got caught up on my Frank Barbier stuff. I finished White Suits, which I don't remember even already.
I just remember not great art.
The art was good. It just didn't make... It was hard to follow.
Absolutely. That's right.
But then I also read... I got 2 issues behind still, but I read like 7 or 8 issues in a row of Five Ghosts.
Which is sweet, because how long did that take you? Like 7 or 8 minutes? It's the breeziest read. It's
I read it really slow because I really, really like his art. I can't think of his name. I'm going to just call him Walt Simonson, because... If ever there was a guy who was drawing like Simonson, like he learned, clearly he was influenced by Simonson. Really good stuff.
It's
Delgado?
Such a,
no. Is it Delgado? I don't know. It doesn't matter. Yeah, I mean, it will matter, but I can't remember his name. But he's great.
Either way, it's like, it's such a fun pulpy book.
It's such a fun book.
Like
the whole awesome. Like trying to rescue his missing girlfriend or sister, whatever the hell she is a little annoying. But whatever. The rest of the book is great. But this one, about the guys who are kidnapping superheroes to steal their blood so it's like, it's kind of a crime book.
They try to steal the blood because apparently there's properties in superheroes' blood that can help cure cancer and things like that.
Yeah, so I like it. It's cool. Mm-hmm. I like the first issue better, but this one's good too.
Yeah, I liked Victor Santos more in this issue.
I am glad it's a lot
of
issue.
There's a lot of Michael Avon Oeming in this
very
book.
Much
like
so.
It's very like
very,
this whole
very
part
much.
With this Janine.
I like his art a lot. I feel like it's a cool idea, but I'm glad it's a mini, because I can't see this holding my interest for more than 4 issues.
Yeah,
but...
absolutely.
And also, the only real problem I have with it is that I don't really like the main character very much. I'm just not that interested in him. The other characters are cool, but he bores me a little bit.
Yeah, his internal monologues come across to me as whiny more than anything.
Wishy-washy, but...
Yeah.
And
it's a lot of, I know I'm doing the bad thing, but it doesn't feel like it, but I know it. It's like, ugh.
And welcome to the broken record part of the show, where I talk about how good Adventure Time is. Adventure Time number 31, Ryan North, Shelley Perelman, and Braden Lamb. I love this book. It starts off with this great sequence of Marceline and Bubblegum Princess getting their driver's licenses, which is, and then there's this awesome like cutaway of this weird monster villain who's going to be the villain of this arc, who like interrupts the comic to say like, he's beaming this directly into your mind, this page is actually blank. The only reason you can see anything is because I'm in your mind directly, and warning them that he's going to show up later, so he doesn't want to startle you. But he's going to be in there later to steal stuff.
There's so much like breaking down the third wall this week.
You mean the fourth wall? But yes,
fourth wall, because like Multiversity does it a bit. A book I'll talk about in a second does it a bit. This does
yeah, it. But weird. Like, and eventually he shows up, and we don't know what he's going to steal, and then the last page, Finn wakes up. And he's back 5 years in the future again in that weird, weird post-apocalyptic universe that they were in, where he has the one arm and they're adults now. And so I'm like, oh, cool. I love that they keep going back to this. But then the backup story was so good. It was called Lemon Grab's Makeover, where the Earl of Lemon Grab steals a cinnamon bun guy and straps him to his face to make a new face. So they rescue him, and they end up drawing a lady face on the back of Lemon Grab's head, who then falls asleep and like lays down in Finn and Jake's house. And Ice King shows up and ends up like... hitting on the Earl of Lemon Grab's back of his head. Like, because he thinks it's a girl. He's like, is there a Lemon Grab? Is there a Princess Lemon Grab? Oh, whatever. I love the way I can really be myself around you, you know? It was just a really good one. So, I love this comic so much. All right.
Would you say on a scale of much to so much, you love it
so much? So much! All right, hit us with what you read this week without spoiling them, because I'm going to read them all eventually. All
righty. The Wicked and the Divine, issue 3 by Kieran Gillen and Jamie McKelvey.
Is it as good as the first two?
Yes. The only problem I have with this book is I get a little confused on all the gods and stuff.
Yeah, but only 3 issues in. Like, you got to... That's the thing. Like, I was thinking about this last time we talked too, because I don't think that's a fault of the comic. I think it's people like us who read so many comics. It's not even that you're dumb. We just read a lot of comics, you know?
Yeah, and it's tough to keep things straight. But yeah, like fantastic looking again.
Yeah.
I mean, it's Gillen and McKelvey. It's awesome. Awesome stuff. It's a really interesting series, too. Lots of twists and turns. Secret Avengers.
Why is Deadpool in this? Why does Deadpool have to show up in all the things I like?
Does it help if I tell you that he's well written if you like breaking the fourth wall, Deadpool?
I don't mind it. I'm just bored of him. But I do.
Has a ton of arguments with Alish Cott in this book.
Really?
Yeah. It's funny and it's entertaining. It's definitely different than
how
Duggan.
Fun this book is. I'm looking forward to the first trade coming out because I stopped buying it. But
Michael Walsh is the star of this book, though. Michael Walsh.
Totally.
There's one panel that I have to show you where they do this. Like they go around in a circle.
So cool.
It's cool. It's cool.
I can't wait.
It's definitely a little. I almost want to say it's like Zooey Deschanel. It comes off a little quirky just to be quirky at times. But that's fine. On the other hand, at one pool, Deadpool says that Fraction writes Hawkeye really funny. Cott's not really his thing, though, because he's just ripping Fraction off, which is pretty good. And then finally, Daredevil issue 7. The second part of this original Sin tie-in that's kind of.
So, what was his original Sin revelation?
It's
all about their origins, right?
It's not really. It's about his mother, who's like that nurse. I think that's from the Frank Miller. And. Basically, like, do you want me to spoil it for you?
No.
Okay. It's just like a story about his mother, and it involves Wakanda. That's all I'll say. Javier Rodriguez was on art again this one. Apparently, he is leaving this book. He's leaving the colors on this book because he's doing an Axis Hobgoblin.
Yeah, I read that on the solicits, yeah.
But Matthew Wilson's going to be the next colorist, and Matthew Wilson is an excellent colorist as well. But yeah, it's another. I mean, it's Mark Waid Daredevil. Read it. If you don't, you're stupid. And you might be a racist. Mark Waid did that PBS.
Which is actually the new Jeff Foxworthy bit.
You might be a racist, dude. You're me.
You're me. Wow, okay.
I don't know if he's really racist as much as he is just, like, fucking insufferable and not funny.
If you're lawn furniture, people like to shit on Family Guy, but Family Guy sometimes has bits that stick in my mind. For example, when they did the parody of like the blue collar comedy guys, like Bill Engvall, that dog of mine, and Larry the Cable Guy says something, the Gator Dad, and then it gets to Jeff Foxworthy, he goes, "If you come from a rural area and behave as such," like, yeah, that's pretty much all of his jokes. Let's skip the song and dance and get right into our favorites.
Oh, yeah, I just remember the Bill Engvall thing. That the only thing that I've ever heard that I chuckled at, and it's not funny, but it's because I laugh at jokes about recreational drug use, where he's like, "Yeah, I quit smoking. I haven't smoked in 3 months. And so I quit because of the patch. And then I quit the patch by smoking cigars. And then I quit cigars by smoking meth." And I was like,
"It's not funny, but
it's not funny at all." But it is the only time he's gotten a chuckle out of me, and it's because I think it's just because anytime somebody says like, "Oh, let's go smoke meth," I think it's funny. You're like, they just the word meth is funny to me. I'm a simple man.
Be simple.
But seriously though, Bill Engvall's fucking. Oh, he's the worst. Also, that Comedy Station here in Calgary has a lot of, like, very racist stuff on it.
I don't doubt it.
And George Lopez, too. Ugh.
Another great Family Guy joke. "Chris, I want to watch George Lopez." That show only furthers the stereotype that George Lopez is funny.
Funny, yeah.
All right, our favorites. Now, keeping in mind that I haven't read what was likely your favorite, and I'm almost positive will have been mine. I also haven't read Stray Bullets this week. I haven't read Wicked and Divine. I haven't read Multiversity. I haven't read the Ninja Turtles annual, and I haven't read Dark Horse Presents yet.
Now, in fairness, it is my favorite.
I know, so that's why I didn't say it out loud.
And probably yours.
And I'm sure it would be mine, too. But my runner-up is definitely, and I cannot recommend this book highly enough, Little Nemo Return to Slumberland, Eric Shanoar, Gabriel Rodriguez, and Nelson Daniel from IDW Comics.
I should have picked that one.
Like, I'm a fan of the original Little Nemo strips. Like, Winsor McKay is one of the greatest of all time, but not only does this capture some of that joy and wonder with spectacular art, character design, detail in every panel, beautiful, but like it even gets like Eric Shanoar even nails the moments in the original strip where like the last panel is always him waking up in a weird position on the floor or something. And he does that throughout this book. Like, this whole issue is this kid trying to get to Slumberland each night. Someone trying to get him there to become the new playmate for the King Morpheus's daughter. And, like, there's this sequence, which I love. The bed turns into, like, a roller coaster. And then there's this scene where he has to fight these, like, cloud guys who are trying to lick the candy guy who's with. They're called the Cumulompers. And then there's a... He turns into, like, bubble guy and float through space. And then they get attacked by this, like, fish dragon thing. And, oh, my God, it was so good. And then look at that. Look at that double page.
He's...
When he finally makes it to Slumberland. Oh, this book is unreal.
Gabriel Rodriguez is the best.
I cannot... Basically, you really need to finish Lock and Key. I read it. I wanted to read it again right away. And then I want my son to be old enough that I can read it to him. Because, God, I love this so much.
you need to finish Lock and Key.
I know I do, yeah.
I've
caught up so much lately, dude. Like,
he's so good at the start. Gabriel Rodriguez is so good at the start. And he continuously gets better. Like,
well, that's the thing, because I haven't read the end of it, right? And I read this, and I was like, holy shit.
Yeah, the last one, like, the Alpha and Omega miniseries, there's just some incredible, incredible pages in there.
Recently, I've had occasion to be on vacation for a couple of days, and I took like a metric ton of comics with me, and then I was also at a very quiet place all day yesterday, so I read a bunch of comics there. So I've been getting through my backlog. I am closer to having no stack of single issues than I've ever been in like 10 years, and I think if I keep it up for another week, I can probably get it down. Mm-hmm. So I read a ton of stuff lately.
Yeah.
Like a ton of stuff. So once I'm finished all those, I'm going to start diving into all the trades that I haven't read.
I have a bunch of shit like Brian Wood Star Wars and stuff that like I probably will never read, but at least like whenever I have the full run, if I ever do want to read it.
Yeah, I have some books like that too.
That's like my single issue stack, and then there's like the last three issues of Deadpool and stuff.
I read some stuff this week. Like, I read Curse, that Boom book that had Riley art in it.
Oh yeah.
And he only did like the werewolf parts, and they're the only parts of the book that I even liked at all. I did not like the book at all, but his part was great.
I finally, after owning the first 7 trades, I finally read past the first trade of Morning Glories. I had to reread the first trade, and then now I've read the second and the third.
I need to get the second and third Ultimate collections, because I've read the first one and I really liked it, but it's a book that I can only read in those collections, because single issues would probably drive me nuts.
See, I remember after reading the first trade, and Rob is like, it's awesome, and he said that it reminded him a lot of Lost, and I was like, yeah, I guess, like, they ask a lot of questions and don't answer any, but it's, like, it's done well, it's done better than Lost.
It's weird to me that you like Lost.
I love Lost. But once you get to like the second and third trade, like the paperbacks, you totally see so much. It's just Lost in a school, but like more deadly. But like, it's that. I really, really enjoy that. I hope I can finish another trade or two this weekend. We'll see.
Well, what was your favorite that I cannot
My
read?
My favorite.
That I bought two versions of.
I did as well, the magazine
format. Did you buy it as well? Good for you, buddy.
And I was talking with our. The owner of our local comic store.
Chris. We know who Chris is.
His name is Chris. His social insurance number is. But we were talking about it, and I was like, I don't really know what to do. Like, and I almost don't want to like read it because it's so nice, and I want to keep it nice and pristine. And then he's like, you almost just want to frame it because that's like the only thing you can do with it to keep it in good condition.
You know, you can get magazine bagging boards.
Can you?
Oh yeah, you can get them from. I know they make them because people do it with heavy metal all the time. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think who used... the shop that will remain nameless actually probably has some. But you could probably get them at... I bet you the Purple Gorilla guy has them. Because same with like their copies of like Savage Sword of Conan and all those.
Yeah.
They make magazine-sized bagging boards.
Yeah.
Like, and I wouldn't be surprised if the Purple Gorilla guy had some.
Maybe I'll try to track. I just need the one, right? So...
Well, tell you what, if you find some, let me know, and if you can only buy them in bulk, I'll take the rest of them off your hands, because I've got, like, heavy metals and some stuff that I want to keep, so...
Sounds good.
Yeah, anyway.
The Fade Out.
we should say what it is.
Issue 1 by Ed Brubaker and John Phillips. Colors by Elizabeth Brettweiser.
So good, by the way.
And for the record, they at the end, Brubaker points out that for the first time, him and Phillips have an editor.
Really?
David Brothers.
Oh, that's cool.
Which he blames any typos on. And then they also have somebody who basically works for them as a researcher.
Yeah, the research assistant. I heard about that, I've read a lot of interviews with him about this book.
Yeah. Amy Condon. Mm-hmm. She does.
And there's a backup in the back, an essay by Devin Faraci about Peg Entwistle that I thought was really... I can't wait to read that.
I haven't gotten around to reading that yet.
Like, I knew about the story, but I'd love to hear it. Mm-hmm. That's the thing. Like, Devin Faraci is a cool guy. He knows some cool stuff.
Yeah, he's the baddest digest, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and the other backup in the magazine format is that there's some like process stuff. So there's like
They show Phillips' entire thing.
It shows like an essay on how the essay the genesis of the series, and also the process in terms of how Ed does his scripts and how Sean breaks them down. You get to see like his pencils,
mm-hmm.
which are really loose, like. You can see it's all done in the ink, right? But it's also crazy how like geometric, how he has all those lines. Like, it's really cool. Yeah. What a great looking thing.
He should teach Liefeld how to do those lines. Because nothing makes sense in a Liefeld panel. anyways, this first issue I enjoy more than any issue of Fatale.
I am expecting to have the same reaction because I liked Fatale a lot, but I like straight up noir.
Yeah, and it's very like it's cool 40s Hollywood.
I actually just bought the first Fatale hardcover.
Really?
Yeah. Just because
I like the cover.
Yeah, and I want to get all the criminal ones as well, just because I love these. But I'd read them more often if I didn't have to dig out my singles. And I hate digging out singles now.
Fair enough.
I want to get rid of all my singles. Who wants to buy my comics? Somebody buy all my singles.
I have like $3. Right? I don't even think sold. I have that. But yeah, the other vibe I got from this was Satellite Sam. Because right off the bat, yeah, there's a cast of characters.
Well, yeah, it's a similar...
The thing I like about this is that I can tell the characters apart. but no, it like... It's Brubaker and Phillips by it. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what, if you're not interested off that alone, then I don't know what to say.
Hey, some of the essays are in the Fatale hardcover.
Yeah,
that's cool. He didn't used to collect very many of them, but
yeah, because he always even in the back of the Fatale, he talks once again about how he vastly prefers actual print, and he'll always try to put stuff in print that he won't put in
the collections.
In collections, and especially digital.
Yeah. And plus, these are the deluxe collections. Sometimes they put those in there, but. So I caught up on Hawkeye recently as well, Hawkeye, and lately actually I almost like the Katie stuff better. But largely the character she's always talking to, the cat food guy, he's drawn to look exactly like Philip Marlowe in one of my all-time favorite movies. He's playing, it's the same character, he just has a different name. He's playing Philip Marlowe as played by Elliot Gould in The Long Goodbye, which is in my top five favorite movies of all time. So as soon as I saw it the first time, I was just like, oh, that's cute. They have a little like nod to The Long Goodbye. And then I'm like, he becomes a character.
Oh, like the, guy in the grocery store.
It's Philip Marlowe from The Long Goodbye, one of my all-time favorite movies.
The guy who like keeps vanishing and stuff.
Yeah. Dude, have you ever seen that movie?
No.
You gotta see that movie. I love it so much.
I still haven't watched The Protector.
Which is sitting in my truck.
Is it still?
Yeah, well, because my truck is sitting out in the streets. I haven't driven it since I got my new car, and I haven't sold it yet. Can I buy a truck?
$3. I'll take your truck and your comics. I don't even know. I think I got maybe $220 or something.
Well, you can put the comics in the truck. It'll be perfect.
Dead.
Well, that's going to wrap us up this week on a solo bolo.
No, it won't. We're not Christmas presents.
Yeah, let's keep workshopping that a little bit more.
Okay, so...
I didn't mean now.
You mow your lawn, but it's... Your lawn is just dirt, you might be a redneck.
Okay, a couple things there. Maybe don't do somebody else's bit.
Okay.
And if you're gonna steal a bit, steal the better bit.
Okay.
Okay.
Get her done!
Okay, you know back what? To my previous criticism, it's still the same.
Have you ever heard when Larry the Cable Guy tells a bad joke? You've probably heard that. And then afterwards he goes, I don't care who you are, that's funny. Because it's like, no, it's not. It does matter who
it's awesome, though. The comedian is just like, hey, the thing I just said is funny.
I mean, I guess I do that by explaining all of my jokes.
Yeah, but you're also not a professional comedian, believe it or not.
Okay. So, the president, the pope, a trucker, and a boy scout are on a plane. Plane starts going down, and there's only 3 parachutes. So, the president grabs a parachute, says, I'm the leader of the free world, I'm going. Jumps out of the plane. The trucker says, well, I gotta be in Iowa in a week, so I'm taking a parachute. Jumps out and going. So, there's one parachute.
That's the best reason for the trucker to get to survive.
Yep.
Well, I gotta be in Iowa next week.
So then there's one parachute left. And there's the Pope and the Boy Scout, and the Pope goes to the Boy Scout and says, I've lived a long life. You take the parachute and go, I'll go down with the plane. The Boy Scout says, "No, it's okay. The trucker took my backpack."
Yeah, well, that's a good one.
Hey, why do mermaids wear seashells?
Go ahead.
Because V-shells are too small.
See, that's a cute
joke.
That's
a funny joke.
That's a cute
joke.
You can tell your mom that.
Did you ever tell your father the deer nuts joke?
No, I forget it.
What's the difference between beer nuts and deer nuts?
What?
Beer nuts are $3.50 a bag. Deer nuts are under a buck. I feel like your dad would enjoy that.
He would. I like that. My grandpa would enjoy that, yeah. Actually.
My father...
Oh, I can see Bad is really huff. Hey, speaking of things that we enjoy that your father would enjoy, I listened to a 3-hour, 2-episode interview on the Steve Austin podcast today with Mick Foley.
Really?
So good.
Like,
I don't listen to his show that often, but I fucking love Mick, so I'll listen to him on anything.
You know whose show I don't really like?
Who?
Jim Ross's.
I haven't bothered.
It's...
Does he say sausage every 5 minutes?
No, but it's like, I don't know.
Sausage.
It's a lot of like whoever he talks to. It's just a lot of putting each other over, and it's kind of weird because everybody likes Jim Ross and Jim Ross likes everybody.
Yeah. See, this was one of my favorite episodes of the Austin show because, A, you can tell how much Austin loves Mick.
Yeah.
And they rode together in the old days and stuff. Yeah. And Mick, for certain periods, was one of the few guys in the company who was anywhere near the level of Austin, right? And he never was, but he also has no delusions about that. He talks about his position in the company at the time. But it was a really good interview. And yes, he tells some stuff that I've heard before because, you know, we follow wrestling. We've been listening to this kind of stuff for a long time. But yeah, no, it was, it's really cool.
I really enjoyed
it.
That's why I don't listen to, like, Talk is Jericho either, or even like I don't listen to a lot of Stone Cold
unless it's somebody I want to hear talk. I don't bother.
Well, that's the thing, because like at this point it's like, okay, well, who are they going to talk to? They're going to talk to Edge, and then they're going to talk to Bret Hart, and then they're like, and then they're going to start talking to like Dirty Dutch Mantel, aka Zeb Coulter, like,
which I would listen to that, but like there's some people,
there's a Stone Cold
like
one with him, and it's really good.
Yeah, the
John Cena one is really good because it's weird to hear John Cena kind of like not on.
Yeah,
like not acting. Yeah, but and like, he's still kind of it.
Yeah,
he's a little disingenuous, but it's a lot. It's like actual Ernest John Cena.
And as we always say, Ernest Cena, thumbs up.
The build to the Lesnar match, because he was Ernest the whole time.
It was a great build, and
and Brock was Brock, and.
One of the best things about this whole situation now is, okay, Brock is the champion.
Yeah.
That just means we're going to get a fucking wicked, poly, dangerously promo every
week. My God.
The promo.
The promo.
Was it good?
He does the eat, sleep, conquer, repeat thing, but then he said
suplex.
Eat, sleep, suplex, repeat, and Paul Heyman literally says it like 12 times in a row. It's amazing.
He's the best.
Then I saw this Photoshop of a t-shirt, and it's like I don't know, probably 14 times longer than a normal t-shirt, and it just keeps saying eat, sleep, suplex, repeat. The match is, it's one of the most like... It's probably the most one-sided title match
I've heard people say like it's not like it's a spectacular match to watch, but it is like a feat of storytelling. And like, when was the last time WWE pulled the trigger on such a good booking?
Cena sells.
Oh yeah,
amazing. Cena's a really good
seller. Cena was the perfect person to put in that position. They knew they had to make it believable. Nobody cares about Cena as champion anymore. He's a transition champion. But who better to put over Lesnar than arguably the most successful champion in the history of wrestling?
Yeah.
Right? Like, at least in this modern era. But like, even you look at our favorite guys, the guys who we're always pointing to as like the best champions.
Like Punk and Brian.
Punk and Brian, but or like Stone Cold Steve Austin, The Undertaker, all those guys. They had 5 or 6 years.
Cena's
on 10.
Yeah.
You know, so you can't take that away from that guy. Anyway, this has gotten interesting. This is a Boiler Room Brawl. Boiler Room Brawl. Boom.
We should call it Broiler Room Brawl.
Yes, the Broiler Room Brawl.
Because we're brawlers.
I'm doing it.
The Broiler Room.
Anyway, until next week, I'm Joey G.
I'm Ryan.
Y'all have a fun time and... Stay classy, and that's the bottom line.
I hope Rob's not here next week.
I hope he's never here again.
I hope that he moves to Iceland.
I hear it's very nice.
I've heard that too. I met a guy who backpacked over it for like an entire month.
Far out.
He's a weird dude.
Cool. All right. Love you.
Bye.